this crooked tongue. My mind has wandered from the straight and narrow. My mind has wandered from the flock you see. My mind has wandered, the man just said so. My mind has wandered, I heard it on TV. And the flock has wandered away from me.
Check. reality. Insanity, let's strive for mediocrity. Insanity, let's make believe we're all the same. Now that's for me, let's sanitize our little brains. Insanity, I'd love to take you home with me and tuck you into bed. I'd love to see what makes you tick inside your pretty head. I wish that I could keep you in a precious Chinese box. On Sundays I would pray for you so it would never stop. I'd love to hear you laugh tonight. I'd love to hear you weep. I'd love to listen to you while you're screaming in your sleep. I'd love to soothe you with my voice and take your hand in mine. I'd love to take you past the stars and out of reach of time. I'd love to see inside your mind and tear it all apart. To cut you open with a knife and find your sacred heart. I'd love to take your satin dolls and tear them all to shreds. I'd love to mess your pretty hair. I'd love to see you dead.
Holocaust. Some observations of the lower life forms who exhibit these rotten personality traits. Gossipers, backstabbers, petty small-minded people, and shit-disturbers. Copycats who don't give credit where credit is due. Gripers, and those who pretend they thought up an idea they derived from one. People who fish for compliments where none are due. People who assume I think the same way they do. People who stir up trouble and impose their problems on others. People who react purely on emotional impulse with no logical consideration. People who delude themselves into pretending there is a pretentious battle between you and them, as if we care. Blind lighters who have nothing better to do than practice their crusader syndrome and masochism. Attempting to convert you. People who do not respect one's space, time, or privacy. Rabid blindlighters who cannot spell and unload their repressed emotions upon one. Irresponsible and DNA defective people who reproduce without logical consideration for their offspring or current financial situation. People who reproduce just so they can up their welfare checks. Illegal immigrants who believe they have the same rights as actual citizens. People who use money as a sop to ease their pain or grief. Greed. Shallow twits who criticize someone who actually chooses to dress differently. Obnoxious people who think that just because they are louder, they are somehow right. People who believe that if they memorize enough cliches, they are somehow right. People who hate people without good reason. Gold-digging leeches who think they are superior with money they have never actually worked to attain on their own merits, but hoard for. Like any two-bit hooker on the street, at least prostitutes are honest about it and provide a service. Mediocre mamas with average voices who think they are divas. People who pretend they are something they are not and believe it is true. People who believe they have worth just because inferior people compliment them. Insensitive people who assume you will resonate with their religious terminology. People with a jailhouse mentality would be better off behind bars. People who believe that just because they are older, they are automatically wiser. People who dress like derelicts on purpose and actually consider it desirable. Attractive women who conceal their cleavage beneath baggy clothing. Pretty young nuns. What a waste. I am angry because people think they automatically deserve respect when they have done nothing to earn it. People have the monumental gall to treat others who are more sensitive, intelligent, and express themselves artistically as somehow inferior, or something to tease. When it is they who are truly inferior because of their very lack of the aforementioned. They are nothing more than clones of the system, who have their so-called opinions handed to them by religion and television. These are truly the weak, for they have no original personality and no sense of creativity. People live their lives in a programmed haze while daring to ridicule the strong. Blindlighters think they can preach their philosophy as enlightenment or salvation to others who do not welcome their presumptuousness. All they are parrots and puppets to the white wolves. And they are furthermore insulting in their passive-aggressive behavior and rottenly righteous name-calling, such as sinner and damned, only to hypocritically elevate their flimsy, impotent egos. People refuse to admit they are wrong, no matter how much the facts weigh against them. They believe that by yelling the loudest and or parroting the most run-down cliches, they will somehow be correct in their ignorance, or by getting in the last word, they have somehow accomplished something. People think that there is this impossible notion of equality when all of life around them demonstrates the opposite. The weak who pretend like they are strong. When the prey believe they are a predator simply because of a manner of dress or some name they call themselves. People assume that I would care about some triviality that is important to them. People consider the shedding of tears or the romantic expression of love as weak, when it is they who are weak because of their very apprehension to express such natural emotions. People think that by simply congregating in herds, that their opinions, however erroneous or disproven, are somehow right. Or when they would call themselves strong because they flock together in groups. A mass contagion of weaklings is only as strong as the most brittle termite-ridden stake in a broken fence. People think that by being rude and insensitive, they dare call themselves strong. People who have accumulated a clotting mass of cliches think they are educated. People tend to criticize or hate higher evolved persons who can do more or have more than they, whether materialistically or intellectually or physically or emotionally, or do that which they only wish they could. Such superior individuals remind the lower man of his or her inferiority, which thereby enrages them, and they act out in various passive-aggressive manners, which only shows them to be trite and shallow. Attempting to point out weaknesses where there are none, and creating scabrous situations, or inventing accusations without cause. Some people just cannot seem to stand someone else being happy. They become jealous and disturbed. In the final analysis, these demonstrations only go about revealing them for what they are. Lower life forms dependent on the strong for identity and stimulation.
Fighting in the street.
The Necessity of Catastrophe. As I write this, there is much wailing upon the psychic currents. A disturbance in the force, if you will. It is the aftermath of the Oklahoma City car bomb disaster. Bereaved and traumatized faces array the television screen, bloodied, in a way christened, de-virginized from their sheltered cotton swamp wage slave existence. Every once in a while, a bit of horror intercedes in the commoners' lives, a necessary element to wisen people up and make them realize how truly vulnerable they are. The proletarians have become comfortable in their work ruts and live life easily satisfied by watching the aptly named boob tube guzzling beer down their gizzards while playing with their lizards and watching blankly at the blue flickering screen. Catastrophes, whether man-made or natural calamity, remind the world that the death angel looms and awaits, for it could strike at any moment. Just sitting, walking, or driving somewhere, minding your own business, some unexpected disaster could occur. And these days, it is more often than not. It could hit from above by a falling plane, unless you are actually inside the plane. It could be a golf-sized hail, a tornado, an avalanche, or a chunk from a meteor. It could come from below, in the form of an earthquake, or a gas leak explosion, or a pothole opening up in the road. A truck could twist out of control beside you, trapping you in a contorted heap of twisted metal. Or a drunken slob could swerve out of control and come barreling forth, plowing headlong into your car. It could come from the sea, by massive tsunami tidal waves, or it could be a hurricane. It comes by plagues, torment and kill the unfortunate and irresponsible. Whatever the case may be, the shadow forces are very active currently, and they are increasing. The Grim Reaper's message is clear. Live life now to your maximum potential. Take your pleasures now, for there may not be a tomorrow. It is around such times when people act their nicest and seem to genuinely care for their kind. Otherwise, they are all mostly oblivious to one another. The annoying exception being for some obnoxious and presumptuous blindlighters, namely born yesterday Jesus worshippers and the flower cower Krishnoids. The only other time of the year that people show some kind of civility is during the holiday season, when not greedily tackling each other for merchandise, that is. But it seems tremendously more genuine during times of crisis. People begin to realize that they could possibly fall under such a fate themselves, and at least for a week or two, deportment improves. It is this threat to their comfort that is the valuable lesson here. If people were living in certain negative deposit stimulating situations, especially after tasting of civility, then their instincts of self-preservation would kick in, and they better be more convincingly courteous, or else. Let us not forget the grace of Victorian bliss, when ladies were truly such, escorted by their gentlemen down fair cobblestone streets, and when well-mannered, polished persons tipped their hats, nodded, and when ladies curtsied. Happily, with the construction of total environments, this shall again be so. This remembrance of past orthodoxy should be a beacon in today's revered rationale. The only way to reverse this degeneration is to begin with the individual oneself, and such responsible individuals may select a symbolic leader, such as Anton LaVey, the Black Pope, to focus the needs and wants of those elite. Armed with the knowledge we have gained in these past ages, combining classical artistic aesthetics with modern undefiled satanic evolutional ideologies and technology, a better world can be brought forth. The world is coming to an end for those who adhere to Muslim, Buddhist, and Judeo-Christian mythology. The wheel has turned. They are the laughing stocks of the wise. The shadow forces cut down more and more penny a dozen subhuman lives, making way for the precious few to emerge. The shadow forces are necessary, earthly dark powers that keep the omniversal energies flowing evenly. By subtracting a few extraneous lives here, a few hundred there, resources become more available to the rest, and harmonious living becomes more plausible. Third world countries should be so lucky to have varying weather and environmental conditions we do, for for if they did, they would die a much quicker death, rather than the much slower, more painful sufferment of famine and disease. Maybe then, so-called humanitarians would realize that they are fighting a losing battle, and euthanizing the wretched masses would be far more merciful fate, much like shooting a live horse. Find a life science text and contemplate the diagram of the food chain. This is a basic evolutionary principle. When there are too many prey, the ratio of predators rises to balance it all out. It is that simple. But overzealous humanitarians seek to dam up the flow of nature by attempting to save those who must perish. The death of one of these dregs causes their kin to question the existence of their supposed externalized deities, and the liberating seed of doubt becomes planted, hopefully in fertile soil, thereby getting them more intimately connected with themselves by turning deeply inwards, even into the dark side of the mind. Thus, with new satanic perception, much occult knowledge is gained from the rich darkness, seeing things sharply as they truly are, and not hazy lensed by the blind light's desensitizing deception.
We'll be right back. you ever think about what a lovely place the world would be without all the people that make life so unpleasant? All the small, petty people. All the ugly, annoying people. It's hard not to think about it. I like to think about what could be done to these people. Something cruel. Something mean. Something just. But the meaner the better. Goodness knows they deserve it. Have you ever dreamed of killing all the stupid people? Not just the unintelligent people, but the sort that don't know anything about anything, yet seem to have opinions about everything. They're only too ready to offer you their advice about how to run your life. And yet look at how they run their own lives. For the most part, they've accomplished nothing. They've contributed nothing. Their lives are miserable. But they talk, talk, talk. At the very least, their tongue should be cut out. At the very least. Do you ever want to kill all the people who tell lies? Some certainly deserve it. Not necessarily the big liars or even those who teach lies as truth. I'm talking about people who say one thing and do another. Or who tell you they've sent something express mail when you know they haven't. Did you ever want to kill all the slow people in the world? The people who are in front of you when they should be behind you. The crime that the swift should be held back by the slow. And it's criminal that nothing is done to rectify it. And what about all the really ugly people? Add them to the list as well. Some people try not to think about life's ugliness. I've thought about it. I've thought about it quite a lot. Something should be done to these people. Something to make them suffer the way they've made us suffer. I say, bring back the Circus Maximus, for starters. Unless these weeds are dealt with, they'll poison everything. They are poisoning everything. We need a gardener. A brutal gardener. A thorough, thoughtful gardener. An iron gardener. Whatever happened to Vlad the Impaler? Where's Genghis Khan when we need him? Or Roy Deese? Ayatollah Khomeini? Adolf Hitler? Benito Mussolini? Nero? Diocletian? Kitchener? Come on! Come on! Thank you.
as the bullets fly. On a hot and smoggy Compton morn, in a dumpster lay a baby so unlucky to be born in the ghetto. And a hooker cries, 'cause if there's one thing that she don't like, it's getting gang raped and her hair extension swiped in the ghetto.
Ghetto.
People, don't you understand? A cop needs a helping hand. We're gonna be in a heap of trouble someday. Take a look at you and me. It's a media to PC. Do we simply drop our guns and let crooks blast away as the city burns? There's a 9-year-old smoking angel dust, got a Glock in his hands, but he's gonna get busted in the ghetto. My stomach turns. Say, what's with Tamika? Her belly looks heavy. She's only 11, but she's gonna have a baby in the ghetto. Then one night after graduation, the suburban kids came to town. They buy some weed, cruise around, meet the wrong gang, and they get gunned down as a rich boy dies. In the hazy distance, a battered wife bleeds while a mangy old dog licks a dirty bum's feet in the ghetto.
Ghetto.
God knows I try. But on a hot and smoggy Compton morn, a policeman like me is the object of scorn. And the bullets fly.
I despise incompetence. I am by nature a perfectionist. Not only is it bad enough that I have to occasionally deal with the pathetic morass which is proldom, but it irks me even more when people I associate with exhibit irresponsibility, especially if it has to do with me or any of my affairs. This is one of the reasons why I wrote the 10 Draconian Dictums, a set of diabolical suggestions. The very first, which is, trust no one but oneself. Always be steps ahead of the rest, so when they fail in some agreement and or promise, one will have backup, something to fall back on, a saving grace, as it were. So no matter what happens, one remains satisfied. The wrath to be dispensed upon he or she who has failed you, without any detriment to oneself. One's attitude should be rather indifferent. If they do, fine. If they don't, fine. But if they don't, they're screwed. Many times I have viewed fellow Satanists employing incompetence only to be let down over and over again, thus foiling the evil plan, as it were. Do not make that mistake. Personally, I choose to surround myself with intelligent, resourceful, and reliable friends that have the ability to appreciate my presence as I do theirs. I really hate excuses, especially with something that is particularly important, something of vital significance. I may be capable to forgive once, maybe even twice, but then the song and dance becomes tiresome and I bare my fangs. making sure the recipient of my viciousness receives a justified lesson by my savage markings. One's own must be disciplined in order to improve countenance. It is a black evil love that brings about modification, results, understanding, victory, perfection, and contentment. Emotionally and figuratively, we have felt as if we were in some dark castle, high upon a far-off mountain, away from everyone. That denotes exclusivity. High, away from the pig droppings, the assimilates. Some look different from the rest, but are the same essential compost. Excreted from the same orifice that are the blind-like churches. I will have no part with the mediocrity and hypocrisy of the commoners. The so-called day people, the trolls, and their philosophies of weakness and complacency. Sure, they've attempted to change the Darklings and failed miserably at it. To be shoved into a box through a hole far too small for a Satanist's inherent greatness. A hole in the shape of a cross, the inside being empty. We are cast in the glorious shape of the pentagram, perfect on all sides, a geometrical masterpiece. It is the archetype and philosophies of Satan which provides with a rich life of delights, which opens the eyes to the self, what has made me a god. I would never return to the imposed weakness and impotence of Christ's insanity. In the darkness, we have found power, knowledge, wisdom, happiness, peace of mind, strength through joy. The third eye, evil eye, has opened and creates many marvelous things. Things that astound and confound the Untermensch, and supplement and enrich the Satanist. The brew of undefiled wisdom pours forth from the black cauldron upon the world, and the unfit burn up and disintegrate, whereas the mighty drink heartily and enjoy. As for those insignificant roach-like trolls, I swat them dead.
Why you always after you. That sometimes you just don't go
Depression is the opiate of the masses. People generally get off on it. Those at the bottom thrive under conditions of oppression, and those at the top revel in imposing such conditions. Human nature demands it. Society, exactly as it now exists, is the ultimate expression of sadomasochism in action. This is an S&M as a mere game. There's no role-playing involved. The roles are all real, with real masters and real servants. There's no dressing up required to be a player in this enactment. You don't have to wear your handkerchief in a certain pocket to signal your position as a sadist or masochist either. You simply assume the position. This is sadomasochism not as a fetish, but in practical application. The sting of the riding crop is replaced by a more generalized sort of malaise. But when all is said and done, it is still an expression of people luxuriating in pain and submission. To say that people love to suffer is viewed as decadent cynicism by many, but a cursory glance at the world around us would definitely seem to support such a thesis. How telling it is that even in the context of a system created in absolute ignorance of man's true character, he remains true to his nature regardless.
Since I saw you last.
Chocolate orange with marshmallow, toasted almonds, and peanuts on top.
Well, I guess I'll try one after all.
Give it a little shot of whipped cream, too, if you like, Bill.
No. Well, all right.
Sure you'll like it, Gannon. Been selling like hotcakes.
Some men drink
alcohol.
Some men drink juices from the vine, but as for me, I'm very simple. Give me coffee every time, make it warm and make it sweet. Just the way my life has been. Give me coffee, 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 and let me tell you, you have found yourself a friend. Jelly donut early in the morning, nibbling on a chocolate eclair. Bavarian cream right around noontime, and I'm still staring at that cruller over there. I want a donut, I want it now. Donut is a policeman's gasoline. Give me coffee, a couple of donuts, and a little more coffee. Cause you don't wanna see a cop like me get mean. A cup of china, a silver spoon, cream out of a golden can. See that pot? Oh, it's percolating, and it's just like music from a band. These old bones, oh, they're tired and weary, but man, you can perk them up again. Give me coffee, 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 coffee. I guarantee that you have found yourself a friend. Yes, sir, you have found yourself a friend. I guarantee that you have found yourself a friend.
Hear instinct, in through this devour. 43 Anusatanash, genre spoken instrumental. Potent enunciations of atavistic evocation, relating everything from fictional horror scenarios to erotica, brutal reality, and magical invocation, which leads to materialization. In an almost backward masking style, Between is an intriguing introduction presenting demonic voices in contemplative rapport. Manwolf, reminiscings on lycanthropic metamorphosis featuring the reverberating throes of a mighty thunderstorm, the fierce echoings of a monstrous hellhound's howl, into the night who unmercifully takes its prey. April Flowers is a playfully salacious poem about three witches who make their way downtown on a warm April night to the delight of onlookers. In Through This Devour blasts a strong and willful voice, calling upon the dread elementals unto manifestation with distant screams of terror, a familiar experience. The Hat Trick offers a ghoulish spectacle and an amusing method to control gridlock. Omen 1 and 2, a morbid little poem relating the mysterious circumstances surrounding a boy's father's demise and the superstitious translation of relatives. Illusions brings forth a hypnagogic impression, dreamlike and floating through an intoxicating mind brew of spectral visions. Awake brings forth the demon beast of destruction loosed from the fetters of pure hatred, as his vile victims cower and are consumed. A Mutual Exchange is a wonderfully erotic poem about the transference of the commando look and mutual communication of the mating signal. Features the sultry voice of Lady Loki as the succubus who has chosen her incubus master, while gleefully constricted in the smooth, cool touch of chains and the sharp sting of leather. The splendid cover artwork features Death Clock by Citizen Aluranthropy as a memento mori to the contemplator. Aluranthropy.com. For those who appreciate the spoken works of Boyd Rice, In Through This Devour features 9 tracks of furious and commanding voices, which echo through the ethers accompanied by accentuating sound effects to create a darkly exhilarating ambiance, resonating from the deep subconscious abyss.
Chaotic. The freeway was at a standstill at 2 o'clock. The heat, transparent, marking unsuspecting, perhaps deserving. Train next give way to brakes. One after the other, bots serve traffic to a complete stop. This is nowhere fast. Defeated and ineffective below the shoulder, spectator diagnosis. I waited to hear him scream out.
Where was his pain?
Confusion. A passing by, I then noticed I hadn't cared at all. For a transient few seconds, the irrational inside was awake.
Hungry.
We're sure gonna miss seeing you around the shortstop, Tony. They're coming out the meat grinder these days. Ground together, cube steak, pat of butter. That's not a cop.
You said it.
Fry them on a pan, chew them up, pick your teeth, spit out the gristle. It's all the same. No personality, no guts.
They all sold their balls to the First Lady for a badge of tin.
The small man wins. They can't take the heat, so quickly. Pin on a good guy badge. Uber mention a can. Pedagogy of the oppressed. It's enough to make you agoraphobic. Tell you what, Xerxes. Your heart's in the right place. Your brains haven't melted to mush even though they've turned up the dial. Take it. Go on, take it. Make some beautiful music.
Your pearl handle cold. Jesus. It's beautiful.
You got a finely tuned sense of morality about you. I can tell. An eye for an eye. Lex Talionis. Get the bastards.
I'm gonna do you proud, Brody.
First things first, though. You find that shit disturber who's wearing out all these lonesome homo records. And you get his ass.
In the local news, there was a different kind of tragedy today. A drive-by shooting between rival East Los Angeles gangs claimed the lives of a woman and her four-year-old child. Caught in the crossfire when...
The death toll in this latest terrorist bombing is expected to climb.
Bloodshed is the war between Iraq and Iran.
Having been raped repeatedly, her body was dumped.
Apparently set by representatives of a radical group.
Wonderful things to you. There would be such wonderful things to do. If you were the only girl in the world. The only boy. I would say such wonderful things to you. There would be such wonderful things to do. So that you can be the only girl and I can be the only boy.
Thank you for attending. I bid you sit well and take that which tempts whenever you can. Hail Satan, unpleasant nightmares. So it is done.